Felger and Mass.
Little sport dork orgy. So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
So sporty.
Oh, yeah?
Sports and sports and sports.
Oh, yeah?
Sports in your face.
Oh, yeah?
Sports.
Felger and Mass.
Awesome.
Oh, yeah? 98.5, the Sports Hub.
How much can you expect from Josh Gordon right away?
Yeah, we're at the same place with him that we were yesterday, so we're in the process of working through it. We'll just have to see how it goes.
Bill Belichick still not talking about Josh Gordon. That was today, after the team officially announced the trade. Whenever, last night? And if you just play the next question on that press conference, this is today. He's asked, so you're not completely ready to talk about him officially being added to the roster. He says, yep, that's right. He's not ready to talk about Gordon being added to the roster. When the team announced the trade yesterday, why is that? Greg Bedard, Boston Sports Journal, in our Town Fair Tire Studios with Maz and a fully loaded program. Bedard, how come Bill won't talk about it? How come they're not ready to really? And then Josh McDaniels did a conference call, and he didn't really technically get into it either. What's going on?
It's weird to me. I mean, normally what you would get, the team announced it, sent out an email at 4:46 p.m. yesterday. And the next day, normally you would get Bill, and you'd get the normal, well, we'll see what happens when he gets in the building and, you know, that sort of thing. But for him not to want to even say that, maybe he just wants to see if the guy's going to show up. Or maybe they're giving him a drug test. I don't know. Something's going on that he won't talk about it. It's odd. It's definitely different than their normal protocol.
I mean, I think that second thing is definitely on the table when you read some of the reporting out of Cleveland. Mary Kay Cabot, you know, alluding to over the weekend that Gordon had lost some trust there among the team, and he wasn't looking like himself when he showed up on Saturday, and there were questions about him being able to maintain his sobriety. That there's some questions about what went on over the weekend. So if he fell off the wagon over the weekend, you make a trade for this guy at any time. First thing you do is you hand him a cup. Maybe they're waiting to see what came back in that cup.
I mean, to me, the whole thing with his hamstring, that thing's complete bull crap. Like, I think what happened is he showed up and he was drunk or high or both. And the Browns said, that's it. We're done.
Well, if that's the case, this trade isn't going to go through. So, I guess it already did, but if that's the case, he's going back in the program.
Well, it could be, or it could be rescinded. I mean, like, you know, whatever, they could reverse the trade, right? I mean, there's always a possibility of that happening. The league intervenes or something and says no because a team filed a complaint. But, I don't know. Maybe he's, with this guy, who the hell knows? Maybe he's holding out. Like, you know, I there's no gray area with him. But the hamstring thing, to me, is bull crap. So he has a hamstring problem. He can't play. Then they make the trade, and on Monday they say he's fine to go? Like, one day later? That makes no sense. The hamstring is bull crap. Bull crap.
So Josh Gordon's in the program, which means he's subject to random testing. And a guy like that, you got to imagine, Greg, they're just all over him.
Probably weekly.
Constantly.
Yep.
You know, if not more than that. And, you know, he even in that interview that I was reading yesterday from GQ talked about how he would get drunk or high before every game and every practice that he ever played, and how he could start sneaking it in when he was even in the program and already failed tests and was in the program. And that's he said, well, you knew there would be a certain window in and around the game, or if they tested you on one day, it would be another couple days at least before they came back. So I would know that I would have a window. But he seemed to imply that around game time, there was a little bit of a window there, maybe from Friday to Monday, if you will, of game weekend. I don't know. Well, that's what happened this past weekend, right? He's fine all week at practice, and Friday night, whatever, promotional event. Then he shows up late the next day, not looking like himself, claiming a hamstring injury. And that night, the team says, we're done. And all the reporting is trust issues, questionable. The Browns were trying to questioning whether he could keep his sobriety, et cetera, et cetera. Now he's traded, and the announcement's made, and now coming up on 24 hours later, he's still not here, and they're still not talking about it? I mean, I don't think it's that hard to figure out. They should have tested him. That's the first thing I would do. So maybe they're waiting for the results or what? Who knows? But that still hasn't happened. So anyway, that's just the latest on Josh Gordon. I want to get Greg Bedard's reaction to it. And before he starts, I just want to say, if you guys have not out there subscribed or read Greg's story today on Josh Gordon to the Patriots, it is what I would call required reading. for the Felger and Mazz program. Like, we should have required reading lists, like summer reading.
Yeah,
for
I
the
like
kids.
That. It's good.
So Felger and Mazz should start saying required reading. Greg Bedard's story today on Boston Sports Journal. And if you don't have it, subscribe. This story alone is worth the $35 a year. Is that what it is still?
Yeah.
I forgot because you just did that sneaky auto-renew thing on my credit card. And a weaselly move. This story alone is worth the $35 subscription. Entitled, "With Trade for Josh Gordon, Patriots Have Reached Bottom." Talking about reaching rock bottom at wide receiver after years of neglect. So read it, folks. But Greg, you just tell me, how do you feel about this trade?
Well, I mean, first of all, as far as the player, I don't really care. I mean, whether he's successful or not, it doesn't matter to me. I mean, I think the odds are it's not going to be successful. But if he is successful, it wouldn't surprise me. I mean, that's not really what the point of my column was. You know, because I've watched Josh over the years. I watched him at minicamp in Berea 5 years ago. I did not come away with a good impression of him. I said as much at the time. I kind of got ripped for it, but I think I was largely proven right. You know, this is a guy. The biggest thing as far as him coming to the Patriots, the thing that I noticed watching him at minicamp, and I said at the time, maybe I was spoiled from covering the Packers and the Patriots, who do things a different way, a high level in the NFL. But I went there, and Josh Gordon loafed the entire practice. He walked after plays. He walked after dropping balls. He would catch a ball and stop instead of running through the end zone. I had never seen anything like it on a football field. I mean, when he was going full speed, obviously the guy is awesome. I mean, he has very few peer in the NFL when it comes to athletic ability at the wide receiver position. It's like Julio Jones and Calvin Johnson when he was in the league. That's probably about it, you know? He's AJ Green, that type of guy. That's how good he can be. But, you know, I came away, I said, this guy, until he gets it and kicks it in, he's just not going to be a real NFL player. And Mike Lombardi, who was there at the time with the Browns, he was the general manager, he tweeted out something yesterday along the same lines where he said
the program in New England is unlike anything Josh Gordon has experienced in his entire career. He will have to make changes quickly.
You're talking about a guy who was at Baylor, who now we know from all their guys that have come into the NFL and all that's gone on there, those guys are probably the most coddled players in college football. You know, Art Briles just let them do whatever they want to do, and he got kicked out of Baylor, which is really hard to do. Then he goes to the NFL, and he's dealing with a Browns organization that doesn't know what they're doing. They're changing coaches, GMs every year. You know, nobody's holding his feet to the fire. He comes here. There's a certain level of the way you do things with the Patriots. Josh Gordon has never had to do that in his football career. Now, all of a sudden, he has to do it. Will he do it? I don't know. Maybe. But the odds say no.
Okay, so that's on Gordon. What does this say about the Patriots?
Well, I mean, my big takeaway is I can't believe they are at this point that they have to trade for a Josh Gordon. They are so barren at wide receiver.
Can I read your story?
You can. You, go ahead.
Really, you say, if we're being honest, it's pathetic. The Patriots have gotten to the point they have to. I'm sorry. Really, if we're being honest, it's pathetic. I just like that line so much. I catch on it. It's pathetic the Patriots have gotten to the point that they have to sign players that were basically useless bums at other places, like Britt, Corey Coleman, and Gordon, all former Browns. These are the Patriots we're talking about. Five-time champions, Belichick, Brady, McDaniels, the brilliant offensive mind who could have had any head coaching job he wanted in recent years. The franchise and its top names stand for excellence. They built Super Bowl contenders every year for 18 years. But why the heck can't they ever develop a receiver? It's bordering on embarrassing. Actually, after the acquisition of Gordon, out of utter desperation, it is embarrassing, writes Bedard.
Pathetic
and embarrassing.
That's where they are. I mean, just look at the current roster. And I went through all the NFL rosters. I was curious. Okay, where do they fall? Maybe they're not outside the norm when it comes to developing players. The only player that they've developed here.
The only receiver.
Only receiver they've developed here on the current roster, and he's not even technically on the roster, is Julian Edelman, who was a seventh-round flyer.
Quarterback.
Quarterback, who they let after he finally ascended, he was in the program for like 5 years. He finally ascends to a starter, has a great season. What do? Yeah, go test your market. Go visit the Giants. I mean, they barely even wanted him. They gave him $4 million a year.
They wanted Amendola first. Remember that?
They didn't even prioritize him when he went to the market.
So they are the lowest. So one, that is by far the lowest in the NFL for homegrown wide receivers. Drafted, undrafted players, that sort of thing.
They have one homegrown receiver, and they're the only team in the league with only one homegrown wide receiver. Every team has at least two or more, or three or more.
The average is 3.4 across the league. Now, in terms of trades, they now have three wide receivers who have been acquired by trade. The nearest team has one.
I mean, so you're saying no team in the league has more than one player acquired by trade at receiver?
No.
And the Patriots have three?
Yes. I mean, I just don't understand how they've gotten to this point. And people can look, and people, I'm sure, I've heard about it on Twitter. I even put it in my column because I knew I was going to hear it. Look how successful they've been. Look at all the Super Bowl titles. Look at Tom Brady. Look at their offense. Top five in scoring the past, I don't know, 6-7 years. They're 14th right now, but they'll probably end up in the top five again, with or without Josh Gordon, once Edelman comes back and all that stuff. That is all true. But there is a cumulative effect when it comes to the roster. I mean, it might not be blatant, and it might not cost them, you know, a division title or whatever. But, like, you know, these picks that they keep throwing out, like, you know, a lot of reporters on the beat are saying, like, well, the Patriots, they think fifth-round picks are useless.
Oh, please. Wait till they get a fifth-round pick.
They got Juwan Bentley this year.
I was just going to say that, Greg. Juwan Bentley was a fifth-round pick.
I mean, the cumulative effect is, and I looked at the dead money just from the past five years at wide receiver, it's over $5 million. That's one vested veteran per year. And if fans are sitting there wondering, like, geez, how did we get so slow? How come we don't have any depth? How come Marquise Flowers is rushing the passer in the Super Bowl? How come Jordan Richards is having to play in the Super Bowl? It's because things like this have a cumulative effect. I just don't understand how it's gotten to the point where they can't develop one receiver. I don't care where they're drafted, undrafted, whatever. Just one guy.
I mean, it really is pathetic if you think about it in those terms, right? One traded receiver, one receiver on every team by trade in the league.
You have three.
Three.
And you've tried like seven.
So the whole league can draft and develop wide receivers, except you.
Greg writes that by my count, the Patriots have acquired 51 receivers just since 2009. And he says, judging generously of the 51, you could say that four have been great. Edelman, Amendola, Hogan, and Cooks.
Hogan's a little bit of a stretch.
You're being generous.
Yes. Mm-hmm.
You're being generous. That four really worked out. Of the 51 receivers acquired since 09, four have worked out. And we could even debate Hogan and Cooks. Edelman, Amendola, Hogan, Cooks. You say six more have been solid. Here you write, Brandon LaFell, Malcolm Mitchell, Dorsett, Patterson? You put Patterson on the list?
I told you I was being generous.
Hold on. And Braxton Berrios on the list?
I told you I was being generous. I didn't want to be, ridiculed for being...
Oh, my God. So to say that six have been solid to good, you had to include Dorsett, Patterson, and Berrios.
Yep.
And Malcolm Mitchell gave you 1 year.
One game.
Same with LaFell. So that's like even... So even if you give the Patriots all those players, which you should not give them Braxton Berrios... Even if you do, the rest you say, 80% have been abject failures. You say that that the Patriots are even in this position where they need to trade for a player as suspect as Gordon is an indictment on the Patriots' entire system around the receiver position. If your system is so complicated that 80% of the players cannot function in it, maybe some things need to be looked at. Maybe things need to be dumbed down a bit. Maybe the playbook should be kept at Brady's doctorate level instead... Or it should not be kept at Brady's doctorate level. Instead, should be more accessible to newer players. I mean, so let's just, as we go to break quickly, well, we'll pick this up on the other side with your calls. Reaction to the Gordon thing, which apparently is done, but they're still not talking about it. So what's going on there? Is it like, is he in? Is he here? Has he passed his tests and officially ready to go? Or is there something preventing that? And that's why no one's talking about it down there. At least Belichick on down. and Greg's really scathing commentary on the Patriots system when it comes to receivers. We'll pick that up on the other side with your calls. Don't go anywhere.
This is Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Boys and girls, I'm here today to present an exciting opportunity for togetherness.
Felger and Mass.
That's awesome.
Of course it is.
That's great.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Tom, Josh Gordon has been traded this afternoon to the Patriots from Cleveland. A tremendous talent, also has had a number of problems. What are your thoughts on Josh Gordon coming over now to the Patriots?
I hate to make projections and expectations. That's not fair. I've never met Josh personally, just like I have met some of the guys that have come in the last couple weeks. So we'll see how it goes this week. Hopefully he can work hard, put the team first, and end up helping us in any role that he can find for himself on the team.
Hey, Tom Brady last night on the acquisition of Josh Gordon, which I guess is official. The team's announced it, but no one will talk about it. Why? Why? Mary Kay Cabot, again, Cleveland.com reports over the weekend he showed up to the Browns on Saturday, not himself. Team doctors examined him, and in addition to the tweaked hamstring, there was concern that perhaps he was struggling again with his sobriety or on the verge of relapsing, sources said. So are they waiting for a drug test? Are they waiting to see where his head's at? I wonder if that's still on the table. But meanwhile, Greg Bedard says it's pathetic and embarrassing that the Patriots have gotten to this point at receiver that they have to go after a guy like this. Tremendous failure at the position over the years. Why do you think it is, Greg? And then we'll go to the phones.
Well, I think, number one, and I put this in the column, is that even the guys that they've drafted in recent years, is anyone doing anything in the league? Who's the, like Brandon Tate is the most successful receiver they've drafted? I mean, that just tells you that their evaluations are just off. I mean, Dobson and Boyce were, you know, somewhat high draft picks for them at receiver. And I don't think that either of them are on a roster. I mean, I might be wrong, but I know they're not out there really doing anything on Sunday. So there's an issue there, you know, just in terms of
evaluation
with the draft. But, you know, the bigger thing is, and we've talked about it for years, is that the scheme is complicated, placating Brady, that sort of thing. It's a process. And, you know, at the end of the day, sure, most years it doesn't hurt, and Brady overcomes everything. That's how great he is. But there are certain times, and this could be one of those years, now that they've gotten to rock bottom in terms of developing receivers, where it could end up costing them.
Okay, your reaction. Greg Bedard in studio with Maz and Jim Murray. Yeah, Ryan and Stoughton, lead us off. What do you got for Bedard? Ryan.
Yo, hey, what's going on, fellas?
What do you got,
Greg,
Ryan?
Greg, a guy that can't even do 10 push-ups, how are you going to say a top five talent in the league is embarrassing on the Patriots' behalf? The only guy to go back-to-back 250-yard games in the league, even though it was 5 years ago and everyone's saying he lost a step. Have you been following his Instagram account? Do you see the way this guy's looking?
Who are you talking about? Who are you talking about? Who are you talking about?
Real flash. Greg, embarrassing is your column on a top five talent in the league.
What's embarrassing is you doing a scouting report on his Instagram. Have you followed his Instagram?
No, I'm not even on Instagram.
No, but I mean, that's what... So, you're embarrassing.
How many games has he played over the past 4 years?
But his analysis is based on his Instagram. Okay.
I'm not questioning anything about Josh Gordon's talent. It is elite. I just told you. The only comparables are Julio Jones, AJ Green, and Calvin Johnson. Really, that's it. That's how talented he is. He has 1 year of production. He's been in the league for 5 years, I think.
He's still on his rookie contract. Going through the options for the Patriots after this year, if they keep him, staggered me. They're the same option you would have on a second or third year player. And he's been around forever. But he can't show up to work, caller.
The other thing is, don't confuse this. I am not against the trade, okay? Let me repeat. I am not against the trade.
I am.
Whatever. They had to go do it. My biggest thing is that they're at this point, that they have to do it. The Patriots should not be at this point. At a position, wide receiver, where basically 61% of the time, 59% of the time, you have three wide receivers on the field. That's 27% of your offense. And the Patriots can't grow any at home.
See, to me, this isn't really... This is only a little bit about Gordon. It's really about how the... Like, Don't you think they look stupid after letting Cooks, and Amendola is even a bigger one, letting Amendola go, and then you have to go through so many guys that you end up at Josh Gordon? Like, they haven't managed the position well. That's how I look at it. Like, okay, Cooks, they get a great return on the deal. Amendola, they let leave for $3 million guaranteed a year. Is that what it was?
Well, $6 million over 2 years.
Okay, so, and meanwhile, they're bringing this guy in. They gave Kenny Britt money. Like, you're throwing money around to those clowns, and you let Amendola go for nothing? Billion, that makes no sense.
Billy in Rhode Island, your thoughts?
Yeah, Phil, so I called in yesterday. Give me one quick second. I said yesterday that they need a wide receiver that has speed, that can take a defender with him, and then take a corner, a safety possibly. That's what they're looking to do. They don't care about what the capabilities are of this guy except speed. They got to get that long pass into the game where they back up these linebackers and so forth and get it wide open. And the only way they're going to do it is with a speedster.
A guy who can't stay in the league, who's been suspended by the team or the league or denied reinstatement 8 times in 6 years. There's not someone who's going to, you've got to worry about showing up banged up every day at practice. There's not someone out there who can run, who doesn't have all this baggage. So this is the only guy.
I mean, I just don't understand. Why not go for Dez Bryant, who doesn't cost you a draft pick? I mean, he's there. I mean, Josh Gordon, yes, is more talented. There's more upside with Josh
Gordon.
Don't
you know the answer to that, Greg? Josh Gordon's on a minimum level salary.
Money!
$760,000 prorated.
Dez now is desperate. You got to think. I mean, but he's not going to make $790,000.
So Dez Bryant wants actual money. So he's out. This guy, this train wreck is in. Train wreck. That's what you've traded for. An absolute, utter train wreck.
I mentioned this in the column. Like, this guy is up there with the guys across sports who have had issues with drugs.
Oh,
mentioned
this yesterday.
Talking, you know,
Steve Howe, Dwight Gooden, you just traded for Daryl Strawberry.
Rob Probert, yeah. Michael Ray Richardson. He's in the same ballpark.
No. We need someone to run off the safety. Have you seen his Instagram?
Yeah, they need someone, Mike. They need someone. So he's talented. They're taking a shot.
Oh, have you seen his Instagram? Yeah. Oh, well, that guy told us.
Well, that guy's an ass clown because he's in good shape. But they got to do something here.
I need to get on Instagram. You know, Greg, forget that. All 22. Get on Instagram, buddy. Oh, my God. You're looking in the wrong places. Here's Murray's update. Is Josh Gordon here yet? Has he passed his tests? I don't know. How come Bill won't mention the guy's name? I'm curious about that. The thing was announced yesterday. Here's the latest from Murray. We still have to go over the Jaguars film with Bedard. We'll do that next in 3 Up and 3 Down.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
Making sense of Boston sports.
There's no catching and no throwing. Anyone can play, no matter how hopelessly unathletic they are.
Felger and Mass, 98.5 The Sports Hub. Now, it's time for 3 Up.
He throws it left for Glock. He makes the catch over 2 defenders.
And 3 Down.
A poor throw intercepted by Tyrann Mathieu.
With Greg Bedard of BostonSportsJournal.com. 3 Up.
Launch downfield, throw into the end zone. With Smith there, and Rowe as well. That pass is going to be intercepted by Gilmore.
3 Down.
Absolute blown coverage right here. Poor tackling on the outside.
Here on Felger and Mez.
All right, we've gone over the film, meaning Greg has, at least some of it. We've compiled our charts, meaning Greg has. And we've got stars, studs and duds from Sunday's loss in Jacksonville. Maz chimes in. Greg Bedard leads us off. 3 studs, 3 duds. Who's the number one star for the Patriots in this game?
Stephon Gilmore. He gave up the touchdown. And he was in good position. He just didn't play the ball. Normally, he makes that play. Other than that, he was awesome. He was balling. He is right now, depending on how long Trey Flowers is out, he is the playmaker on defense right now. I mean, that's a little scary at the cornerback position because it's hard to be that effective. But he was awesome. He was physical. You know, he stopped Bortles short, punched out a ball. I mean, he was in great coverage. Phenomenal game.
See, I have a hard time putting him first because at the end of the day, Dante Moncrief caught a touchdown over him. But that aside, I put Ryan Allen first. So that's going to tell you what kind of day this was for the Patriots. Okay, Ryan Allen, four kicks, 55.5 average, a net of 45.5, basically. If the punter's like one of your best players, seriously, other than Gilmore, who else was good? Ah! Don't answer that yet, Gray. It's coming.
Okay, second stud.
Trey Flowers. Played seven snaps.
Oh, God.
Was impactful on three of them. I mean, he was a huge loss in the game. That was not the reason why they were so bad on defense, but it certainly didn't help. He was off to another great start.
He left on the first series, I think, right? First or second series?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And he's your second star. Yep. Oh, boy.
See, this is my point.
Yeah.
It was that kind of day. Gilmore was my number two. Let's move on.
Okay, number three.
I went with Hogan. The two touchdowns, he did a nice job. You know, I was really scratching for a third one.
Same. And I also had Hogan third by default just because he got in the end zone. That was it. Other than that, again, who are you going to name as having a good day? Brady? No, Brady was a candidate.
Not quite. Like, okay. A candidate, but not quite.
James White?
Yep.
Like White was a candidate?
I guess.
But so again, these guys are sort of like, for them, okay. Yeah, they weren't horrible, but they weren't great.
You're right.
They didn't have it. I'm telling you, they didn't have enough great players on the field.
Let's get to the duds. I'm sure we have plenty of candidates. Number one dud for the Patriots, Greg, was?
Eric Rowe. Even though I will say, I think this is a little unfair. I mean, he did give up three big plays, but I don't think I've ever seen a hook that quick with the Patriots. He must have done something to tick somebody off, or he was on a very short leash where, you know, that touchdown that he gave up, he got no jam, hesitated down the line. They might have told him coming in this game, you need to get your hand on these guys coming off the line or you're getting benched, because that's what it looked like what happened.
Eric Rowe. That's what I meant. Eric Rowe. That's right. I forgot. Eric Rowe. Yeah, he stunk. He was bad all over the field. And I do find it interesting, the second game of the year, he played badly. He got pulled out of the game and someone else went in. Huh. Isn't that funny? How come they didn't do that in the Super Bowl?
Butla.
Fair point. Second dud, Greg.
Dante Hightower. Just not effective. I showed you guys a video. There's a play early
that
in the
fourth. Scared the crap out of me. Have you tweeted that out?
I have not. I'm going to put it in my write-up later on bostonsportsjournal.com. But there's a play, I think with 12:46 left in the fourth quarter, where he goes back into a back pedal and then tries to come forward. And he just can't do it. He tweaks his knee.
Did you see this clip?
Yes, I absolutely saw it.
Oh, my God. It scared the crap out of me. I mean, I watched the game, not like Greg, but, you know, it doesn't feel like he's moving well. Then I watched that clip. I said, oh, my God, he can't move anymore. He can't run. He can't. Like, that clip scared the bejesus out of me.
Yeah, and he stayed in the game, and then, like, the next play, he got crumpled. It looked like he touched his right knee. That's an issue. You know, talking to Doc Flynn today via text about it, she thinks it's just, you know, he has a right knee thing that's gone on for a while. She thinks it might be arthritis and just something he's dealing with. But if been looking for a reason why he can't move this would be it, and it's not a good sign for the rest of the season.
So I also had Hightower second. He was invisible, but since Greg already said it, I'm going to include the whole linebacking core. All three of them.
Yeah, they were terrible.
Juwan Bentley was getting juked out of his shoes. Welcome to the NFL, kid.
How about LT? I mean, Van Noy there on the edge. How was he?
Butkus?
Missed four tackles.
Oh, that's it?
I think I was being generous on that, too.
Oh, God, they were awful. The linebackers were awful on Sunday. And again, I just think it's hard to have a good defense if you have bad linebackers.
Butkus. Perfect. Nitschke out there. Okay. Yeah. Who was your third dud there?
Kyle Bedard? Van Butkus.
I had Adrian Claiborne. Now, he did have a couple pressures, but three times on third down, he rushed and got up the field, past the quarterback, and that let Bortles get out of the pocket and run for third downs. How many times do you think they told them this week, do not get past the quarterback?
Not as many as they did against Watson.
Oh,
I mean, so you know they can do it, Greg. You know they can contain a quarterback when they set their mind to it. Something tells me the coaches did not treat Bortles, his running threat, as badly as Watson, and so I think they all... I mean, don't you think? I mean, they did it the week before, didn't they?
Yeah, they did a great job the week before. I don't know what the deal. Mostly, it was just Claiborne in this game. Everybody else did their job. I don't know what was up with them.
Cordarrelle Patterson. Dude, stay on your feet. Stay on your feet, skates, for crying out loud. Like, in a game like this, you're going to have to hit him for a big play. The Jaguars' defense is too good. They're too hard to drive against. So when you get a chance to make the play, you got to make it. Like, and the other thing is, I didn't love the idea of running the ball out of the end zone. Was that Michelle later? It doesn't matter. Either way, I'm blaming Patterson. Oh, I thought he was awful. Awful. He's useless.
Matt just mentioned Michelle. What'd you see from him in game one there, Greg?
You know, I thought he was okay for the first game. I thought the 14, 15-yard run was a good sign. He ran with power. You know, I just, watching this game, you watch Corey Grant, and you say, okay, I don't know, when was that guy drafted? I forgot to look. I meant to look it up. But he's special. You see him. I mean, that one run where he ran to the left and then cut back and, like, zoomed up the middle, you're like, wow, that guy's got explosion, you know, all that stuff. I'm waiting to see that for Sony Spurrier. He needs to be that guy. Drafted in the first round, he needs to be that guy for this team.
I hope he's still kind of hurt. And not that I'm wishing injury upon the guy. I'm saying if that's what he is at 100%, I don't know. Did you see anything? Again, just your comments.
No, but it's...
I mean, a first step, explosiveness?
No, but that's not unusual for rookie running backs in their first game, guys who haven't had a whole lot of practice time. Like, they need some ramp up. They need to get used to the game speed. So I'm not indicting him or anything off of one game. I did like this, that one run showed me a little something and said, okay, maybe there's something there, and he builds off that for next week.
Okay, but I think you also raised a great point. When was Grant drafted? Does it matter? Fourth round, fifth round? He might be undrafted. He might be...
I think he was undrafted.
He might be from the Arena League.
I mean, he broke into the league in 2015 as a 24-year-old.
This is the whole point of that position. So his rookie year is as a 24-year-old?
I think so. He didn't play prior to that. I mean, that's it. 2015 was his first year, and it says here he was 24.
So that's it. That's the point at that position. They fall out of the sky. First round pick. Please, don't get me started. We'll get back to your thoughts on the game, but really more on the Josh Gordon situation with Bedard in studio right after this.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Janta.
Magenta?
Janta.
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 Sometimes you have to wonder if there's a gas leak in the building.
Woohoo! Whoop-de-doo!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Oh, man, one of the most talented receivers I've played against. Going against him in practice, I remember sending Dev a few clips like, man, this dude can still play.
Seriously?
Yeah, definitely. He gets everything on track. He can be one of the best receivers in our game. I would compare him to a guy like Julio Jones. Big, can run, still has quickness. Definitely that type of body, that type of mold. So when he was there last year, he was at work on time. He was working hard. Really seemed like he wanted to get back in and do everything the right way. So hopefully... coming here, that'll be the same attitude, same approach coming into New England and coming into our locker room.
Yeah, that's when he shows up. It's Devin and Jason McCourty with Tommy Kern on NBC Sports Boston last night. Belichick and the coaching staff still aren't willing to talk about him, and there's not even word yet that he's arrived. Beadle and Zoe were down there all day today in the stadium, and as they left it, I believe he still hasn't shown up. So, again, what's the hang-up?
M-I-A.
What's the hang-up?
AWOL.
We'll see. But this is what you get with Josh Gordon. And even if it's nothing, even if it's totally nothing, which it very well may be, this is what you deal with. If he's not there, where is he? Where is he? Has anyone checked in on Josh? Are we okay with Josh?
How's his Instagram?
Yeah, where is he? Has anyone smelled his breath? Is he on time? Did anyone know where he was last night? Who he was with? Anytime he's not there, where's Josh? What's going on with Josh? Anyone seen Josh? And so Bedard's point is that the fact that it got to this for the Patriots at the receiver position is embarrassing and pathetic. Julian in Worcester, your thoughts?
Yeah, hey guys, thanks for taking the call. I just was wondering, you know, I know it's the cliche is it's the Patriots way, but why do we continuously invest in guys like Albert Haynesworth, Eric Decker, Ocho Cinco, Ty Hill, so on and so forth, or I'm sorry, Ty Law, instead of going after guys who guarantee productivity like Khalil Mack or even Le'Veon Bell right now? And if it's just money, how can it be money considering the amount of money that the LA Rams have invested in their team this year and the fact that the Patriots are you know, one of the most profitable brands in the world right now.
Okay, so I don't know why you put Ty Law on that former list, but Greg, just your response to, you know, them taking flyers on guys like
this. Well, I mean, it's simple. It's just like a stock. I mean, are you going to buy stock at its height? And then, you know, because the chances are you're probably going to lose money. No, you're going to take a risk when the stock's down and hope that it's going to go up and you're going to hit big and, you know, there's going to be a bigger windfall for you. So that's what the Patriots do. They have a core that will, you know, get certain things done and be really good, and they have Tom Brady. But if they can catch guys who didn't work out someplace else for whatever reason, attitude, they didn't like the coach, coaching change, all that stuff. If they had a chance to get the stock low and to hit high, they're going to do it. And I don't necessarily disagree with that. And that's not my complaint about the whole Gordon thing, because when I did my column targeting wide receivers that they could get before the 53-man roster, and I analyzed all the guys that could be available in a contract year, things like that, Josh Gordon was number two on my list behind Emmanuel Sanders, because it just made sense and the risk was worth the reward.
This guy would never be on my list. Never be on my list. It's just too much trouble.
Too young.
No, it's, you know, they used to have a saying, no a-holes. Like, and not that I'm looking to save the world or he's a bad guy or a good guy. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm talking about football character. I'm talking about football character, guys who are dependable, who show up, who grind through, work hard, all those things. I've always appreciated that about the Patriots system. And whenever they sign a guy like this, that takes a hit and you lose who you are. And I felt that way with Randy Moss. And I'm sorry, I was proven right, because he helped bring that, that locker room slowly devolved into, well, what it became in 2009, which was the worst locker room they had. And that's no coincidence that Randy Moss was right in the middle of it. And so you lost a little bit of who you were, and it took you a couple of years to get it back. And the more you do it with guys like this, the more you're in danger of falling into that. And so please.
They lost me on Haynesworth.
This guy.
Yes, Haynesworth was the one that put me over the edge. That was it.
I wasn't a fan of the Tlaib thing, but, you know, at least that guy balled out. And that's where the Patriots have usually always drawn the line. You know, guys might be trouble someplace else, but if they practice hard, love the game, all that stuff. That's why the Cowboys were right on Dez. I didn't want to have anything to do with Dez coming out of Oklahoma State. He had more red flags than anybody in a shoddy background. But the Cowboys found out that he loves football. He practices hard. He loves the game. Randy Moss was the same way. Yeah. Brady, you know, they all talk about how hard he practiced here. But, like, then they sort of diverged, starting with Haynesworth and now Gordon. You can group those guys together, in my opinion.
I think Moss gave you one year, and then he reverted to the same dog he's always been. Kevin in Swampscott. Go ahead, Kevin.
Hey, so let me just start this off by asking, if he plays the 10 games needed, so it's not a so they don't get the seventh round pick back, is he a top 10 wide receiver?
Is he a top 10 wide receiver if he just plays the 10 games?
Mm-hmm.
What do you think? I don't get the question.
So I say yes, and I say that even if he doesn't play those 10 games, you're only going down 30 spots. And you guys are talking about Dez Bryant. Since 2013, 100-yard games. Josh has 10. Dez Bryant has 12.
Okay, so we're not talking about him as a player.
I mean, that was 5 years ago.
It's 5 years ago, and let's say he's the most amazing player on the planet. We're granting you all of that. His talent is through the roof. Got it. That's not what this is about. Can he pick up the offense, Greg? Can he step in here midstream and pick up the offense?
I haven't gotten any indication from that from people in Cleveland, but, I mean, I know Baylor's offense was really, really simple, and I know he's been in multiple schemes in Cleveland. I would tend to doubt it. I mean, look, when he comes in, he's going to be on a package, and basically he's going to run goes, and he's going to run slants, because I don't think there's anybody better in the league at running slants than Josh Gordon when he's at full speed. But is the timing going to be right with Brady to make something happen? We're going to have to see. But they're going to have a small package for him, and that should be effective if he shows up every day.
Mike in Chelsea. Go, Mike.
How are we doing? So I keep hearing how this isn't the type of guy the Patriots bring into the organization. Bedard keeps referring to him as a guy like this. Now, what about LeGarrette Blount? LeGarrette Blount was going on blunt rides with Le'Veon Bell in Pittsburgh, walked off the field. We signed him the next day.
Yeah, I was never a big. Blount
suspended before he got here?
I was never a big fan of him myself, but yeah. he might have been suspended a game or two. Nothing like this guy. You can't compare anyone in the league to this guy. There's no 8 different suspensions or denial of reinstatements over 6 years. There is no comp to him. There is none.
No, the only comps are the guys that we talked about, the Steve Howes, the Daryl Strawberries, the Bob Probert's, the Michael Ray Richardson's. But those guys, you know what? They actually had more than 1 year of production. So people put up with them.
Chronic, habitual.
I mean, that's just a fact. I mean, you cannot like it, but that's a fact. That's where Josh Gordon is.
We're not talking about 1 or 2 incidents. And we're not talking about that sort of thing. We're talking about year after year after year and chance after chance after chance. And he may have blown another one for all we know. This is the part that blows me away, too. Did they even talk to him? There was a report yesterday that Josh Gordon hadn't talked to the Patriots at the time they announced the trade. There was no dialogue there. So the Patriots are doing this sight unseen. Did they read Mary Kay Cabot over the weekend? Again, Mary Kay Cabot, who has been covering the Browns, I think even when Bill was there in the 90s,
yes, she was.
She's been covering the Browns for decades. Mm-hmm. So she was there when Bill was there. That's how entrenched she is with that team. She says that he was released after he showed up to the facility on Saturday in Cleveland and was not himself. League sources told Cleveland.com. When Gordon did show up at the Browns facility on Saturday, a little tardy, he complained of a pulled hamstring, but he was fine in practice on Friday. Team doctors examined him, and in addition to the tweaked hamstring, there was concern that perhaps he was struggling again with his sobriety or on the verge of relapsing, sources said. A source told Cleveland.com that the mysterious hamstring pull was an issue, but that trust was the bigger factor with Gordon, and the Browns felt they could not rely on his sobriety. So what happened and what did he look like when he showed up on Saturday?
I'm telling you, it's got nothing to do with the hamstring.
But why does no one else have that report, though? It's just her? So the reason I bring that up is because you're quick to call those that cover the Patriots the gatekeepers. She sounds to me like she's a Cleveland Browns gatekeeper. She's always been around the team. They're feeding her information. They're obviously fed up with the player. So what's the easiest thing to do? To put in the newspaper or her article, he looked a little off because he's had the history.
Okay. Why would they release him if there wasn't a real reason to do it? Like, why would they just up and release him?
He might be a bad influence for their number one draft pick in Baker Mayfield. They don't want the guy around because he has been problematic in the past.
I think he showed up drunk or high. I don't think the hamstring has anything to do with it.
No, but I mean,
he was on a bender the night before. He showed up. He was late. He looked like he'd been out all night, and they went, what the hell's going on?
So, I mean,
you're
going much. I mean, I'm not saying that. I'm reading what Mary Kay Cabot wrote. And if she knows it and the Browns are acting that way, did you? I mean, you just make the trade sight unseen without talking to the guy? And Murray, that makes no sense. All of a sudden, they realized in week 2 he might be a bad influence on Mayfield?
In week 1, when he helped them tie against the Steelers, the head coach was still bitching about the fact he even got on the field. He didn't want him around. Hugh Jackson doesn't like the player.
Okay, Hugh Jackson has control now over there?
He's the head coach.
He's not the GM. He's not in charge of the roster.
So if a coach wants a player gone, he doesn't have any say?
All
of a sudden?
He gets a little seat at the table, but no, he doesn't have final say in the roster. I don't know. Greg, you tell me how it works in Cleveland. Does Hugh Jackson have final say in the roster?
No, Sean Dorsey.
So it's not his call. I mean,
game day roster is different. I mean, the coach should have jurisdiction over that. But as far as at large, the 53-man roster, it's John Dorsey's territory.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5, The Sports Hub.